Welcome to Two Bards, One Mic. Insert interesting music here.
I swear we're actually going to get music one of these days.
Nah.
Episode 52.
5-2.
Sorry, guys. I know we promised something awesome for this episode. Unfortunately, Kirby Crackle.
They're busy.
They're busy. Which, good for them, you know? Good for them. That's awesome.
That's awesome.
But,
that's H2 awesome.
Oh! Be sure, by the way, to check out our Vimeo, where we have all that stuff listed.
Yes.
Pretty cool. So I did want to take a moment, because we just had a, you know, major tragedy here in Washington. If you're not a Washingtonian, you've probably seen it on the news. But there was the big mudslide up north.
Yep, Oso mudslide.
The Oso mudslide. Now we've talked about it. We do want to, you know, I don't know what your take is on the whole thing, but you know, I'll be sending as good of vibes as I can, and contributed to the Red Cross, and but we did hear some good news, and that is that the president's going to come and comfort the families, which I think is a really cool move on his part.
Yeah.
But let's not also forget. There's another disaster. This has been a bad. Yeah. This has been a bad couple of weeks.
Yep.
The Korean ferry that capsized.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they're still rescuing people from that thing.
Yeah.
So you know, be safe out there.
Hearts and thoughts go out to those families as well.
Whoa, whoa, whoa! Who the hell are you? I mean, you're us, obviously, but from where?
When? We're from the future.
Oh yeah.
Who's president?
Barack Obama. We're not really from that far in the future.
We're here to warn you. Don't go see Run All Night in 11 months.
What's that?
It's a Liam Neeson action film. Is it terrible?
Meh. Then why don't you want us to see it? You overdraft your checking account and you can't get dinner. Oh. Yeah, so just don't do it.
Okay, we have to get back to our time.
Wait, before you go, do the Seahawks make it to the Super Bowl?
Yes, they do.
Do they win?
No, they don't. The opposite of that.
Bye. Wow. So, guess you're not going to bet on them then.
Yeah, I am. What does that asshole know?
Good point. Whoa, that was a trip. But ding, 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 ding. I got 17 bucks in my account again. And I'm starting to forget that train wreck.
Excellent.
So, episode 88.
88.
When this podcast hits 88 episodes, you're gonna see some serious shit.
Great, Scott. So, I guess we should talk about our weeks.
Yeah.
So, you do anything good this week?
Sold my Saab.
To the devil?
No.
No.
To an actual West Seattle friend of an actor friend.
Oh, very cool. Very cool.
So, I'm down to a car and a Harley, and I can pay rent for another 2 months, so.
Yay!
wow. Did our mothers dress us today? We're both in black and
we
jeans.
Are, too. That's amazing.
Back in black!
No. Otherwise, I had an audition.
Yeah.
That I had to memorize lines for and then showed up for the audition, and it was a mute part. They just did it so that they could see if we acted naturally or not, and I haven't heard anything, so pretty sure I didn't get a call back.
The worst part is it's for a radio play.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. And worked on Reality Check's website, so that's coming along good. Lee Garvin and I are going back and forth with some ideas, and hopefully in the next week or two there will be some major movement, and my goal is by the end of the month we've got a live site for Reality Check, which is The Floating Vagabond, or Tales from the Floating Vagabond, Badass Zombie Killers, and then Dravacore, which is a campaign setting at present, so isn't technically a product. It's a, I don't know, intellectual property, I guess.
Right.
For for a setting, and then another full game called Conflict, which is
very cool.
And then Control. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
Control.
Well, not as cool now. No,
because
totally,
the
totally
tagline is, "Are you in control?"
I'm not. And
I know. It's yeah. So I think that's. I'm pretty sure that's what my week was.
Cool.
And acting class.
Yeah. But. Oh, I had one of those weeks again, Scott.
Soul-sucking?
No, well, yes, but in addition to soul-sucking, it's one of those weeks where I'm like, yeah, I did a bunch of stuff that I cannot talk about.
Son of a bitch. One of those weeks, yeah.
I also worked quite a bit on a website. Hopefully, I'll be able to announce it soon. It's an existing website, but we're revamping it and putting a bunch of stuff up on it. And
it's a very tall website, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay.
No.
That's it. That's all I'm going to do. There you go. Tease that.
I think you're on the wrong page, but I'm going to let it sit.
Oh, simmer. Okay.
So did that. Jesse Keeter, the whole Andak crew. So Jesse, Gabe, and Aaron all came over Friday night. We played a bunch of Mario Kart. I don't understand what's with me in that game. Like, Jesse's consistently good.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron's consistently good. Aaron Buman's consistently good. Aaron Weathers is consistently good. Gabe hasn't really played it, so, you know, he's and it is a... Nintendo Wii has a high learning curve on those controllers if you haven't used them.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, he was understandable, and I could tell he would get better over time. I'm, like, either last or first. Those are, like, my only two positions. It's weird. So we played that. Started watching a new weird-ass show on Netflix called Danger 5, which is a 60s action-themed espionage-y sort of thing based off of the old Men's Life magazines.
Mm-hmm.
And is as fucked up and funny as you would imagine that to be.
But it's a present day.
It was filmed in 2011.
Oh, okay.
So, but it released in the U.S. in 2014. So, because it's Australian, so we didn't get to see it until, yeah. It's, and above all, kill Hitler every episode. And every episode, Hitler jumps out of a window and avoids being killed. Every episode.
Nice.
Every episode, someone dies and tells a secret drink recipe to this one guy who's the best bartender in the world because he's witnessed so many people die.
And is this a 30 or 60 minute?
30.
How many episodes?
There's only six in the entire season, but there are two seasons. I only think one is on Netflix though, but I'm not entirely sure. Oh, I did want to give a couple of corrections from last week's podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So first of all, you were right. Orcas, dolphins, they are toothed whales.
Ah.
So when I was doing biology in 1993, we were using a textbook from the late 80s that had true whales, which were baleen-based mm-hmm. whales, and then it had cetaceans, which is where I got my information, and it was not up to date. So Josh Everett, I think. I'm not looking at the webpage right now, so I don't know, but I think it was Justin Everett,
mm-hmm.
Set me straight.
Okay.
And toothed whales totally are a taxonomy. So,
gotcha.
And there was a second one I was wrong on, too, that I wanted to bring up, but I forget it. It was someone starring in something, I think.
Oh, okay.
And I was just totally off on that.
Okay. I just wanted noted for the record.
Yeah, yeah.
I was right about something.
Yes, and I was wrong, and I'm not Fox News, so fucking headline here. Even if it's small, you're going to hear about it. Thursday, I got to play in my cousin's game again.
Nice.
For 13th Age. This week was totally epic in a totally different way than last week, because last week I told you about the fireball I did as a bard and just like toasted this entire like Lovecraftian monster of the id sort of thing. This week we had to roleplay in pretty much the entire time, and I ended up getting knighted by a dragonborn king. Because while this other guy was supposed to be knighted, he failed his roll, but I have charm, like I've got an 18 charisma,
mm-hmm.
so I charmed my way into getting knighted in his stead.
Charisma? Whee!
Guess what, though? This bard is kicking ass, and all of his spells are charisma-based, so it's pretty badass.
Nice.
So that was fun. I'll be playing again on Thursday.
So you charmed the Dragon King into knighting you instead?
Yeah. Well, nice. What would have happened, I mean, he rolled a 2, which isn't, like, it's not an epic fail, so it just wouldn't have happened.
Right.
If he would have rolled a 1, the Dragon King probably would have chopped his head off accidentally.
Yeah.
But, I wanted the, because it was a, it's a solidifying maneuver for the two kingdoms, mm-hmm. so I wanted to make sure we got it, so I rolled it silently while nobody was looking and told the DM, hey man, I just, and he's like, yes, and so it was a lot of fun.
Sweet. Yeah, I've been bailed out numerous times by rolling a 2 instead of a 1.
Yeah, it's...
I would much rather... 2's not,
great.
Not, yeah, 2's
just a fail.
Awesome.
2's just a fail.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Anything between 2 and not meeting the DC, same thing.
Yep.
Well, that's not entirely true, especially in 13th Age, because there's a lot of stuff that you can do on fail rolls based on whether they're odd or even or natural or not. It's crazy. It's a really cool system. Complex. Mm. Much more like when we were younger, like that kind of complexity, but not complex about managing minutia, complex about doing cool stuff.
Nice.
Much
so better. The correct
complex.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's it, that I can talk about. Everything else, there's a lot of stuff, man. Yeah, so, well, not a lot of stuff, but more stuff than I normally have, and I can't talk about any of it.
Yeah, my highlight, and you can go back and check my Facebook on this, when I posted about the car.
Mm-hmm.
So, I just thought, you know what, I'm gonna take out an ad. I was already ready to sell the car,
mm-hmm.
but I thought, I'm just going to put it out there on the Facebooks mm-hmm. and see if anybody that I know needs a car, because I would rather do that, and I'm going to lower the price for the friends and family discount. So I put it out there and going along, and I get a couple people who are needing to check with others. I've got a couple people who are like, hey, my son needs a car, my buddy needs a car, and they got back to me, and then... a couple people with, hey, I've got part now and I can pay over time. I'm like, okay. Had one person who was like, I want to see the car and I have cash in hand. And I'm like, winner, winner, chicken dinner. And then my buddy Brad Leland from Texas, the way more famous actor than I am, posts at like 11 o'clock at night, I want this car. Let's make this happen. I'll bring it down to Texas. We'll talk tomorrow. And I'm like, what? Are you? And then I PM'd him and I'm like, are you serious? He's like, I'm deadly serious. Let's talk tomorrow. And I'm like, okay. Brad Leland's going to get my Saab. This is awesome. So we call the next day and it was really weird. I called. I got a PM from him. Call me when you can. I did. It went straight to a voicemail. And I said, I'm calling. Call me back. Working on the website. All of a sudden, I get, bing, you have a voice message. And it's from Brad. I'm like, but I didn't hear it ring. So I turned around. I called him back. And it kept going to his voice message. Mm. I left him a thing and said, hey. So turns out he was on the phone.
Ah.
And I was frantically calling while he's on the phone with someone way more important than me. But he came back and he's like, yeah, I don't really know what I was thinking last night because that's going to cost a lot to ship it down to Texas. And then I was like, well, I'll just fly up there and I'll take a, you know, north-south trip across the country. But then I don't want to do that. And then I was like, I bet Scott would drive it down here and I'll fly him back. That'll be great. But then that's adding a whole lot to the cost of the car.
It really is, yeah.
That doesn't need to be there. And while it sounds really good on paper and my wife could really use a car and I really want to buy that car, it's probably best that I don't buy that car.
Right.
And then we had a great conversation about Camp Abercorn and just sort of catching up, which was wonderful. And I love that guy. He is awesome. And instead, someone here from West Seattle.
Perfect.
Got the car, and it all worked out in the end.
That's excellent, though. That's excellent.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's not a super eventful week in terms of my side from what I can talk about. Your week sounded awesome. Do we have anything else coming up that we should talk about? I don't have any con stuff coming up so far, but it is looking more and more like I may be attending Gen Con, not with Zoe, though.
Huh.
So that's a cool thing.
More stuff you can't talk about, though.
More stuff I can't talk about.
Okay.
But it is a potential. So that'll be really cool.
According to my
calendar, which is beautiful, green.
Calendar, I have nothing going on except a doctor's appointment on Monday.
Nice.
I wanted to say there was something on Tuesday, but I could be wrong.
Yeah. I definitely have a lot of stuff
to do. Oh, I know what's going on Tuesday.
What's going on Tuesday?
It's the Washington Filmworks descends on the legislative capitol and wrangles a bunch of senators and congresspersons.
Yeah, now that happened yesterday. Well, it didn't happen directly yesterday. Yesterday was the big meeting where CHOP got together with all the folks and everybody went to attend.
Yesterday wasn't really a
grassroots get everything together meeting. It was just to kind of see where everyone stood.
So
keep your eye on Facebook if you're interested in that at all. There are also some interesting counterpoints that I've read through. I still disagree with the counterpoints. I still don't feel like the counterpoints outweigh the benefit of bringing film to Washington. A lot of them are about, you know, this money going to Hollywood and stuff like that. And I think that
it's nothing to do with Washington. Hollywood's going to get their money one way or another. Why don't we get some money?
Well, and the way I look at it is if you bring Hollywood here, they're bringing California money to Washington. It's not that the tax break is going to California that's important. It's that the money that's coming into Washington from California outweighs the tax break because all of the people they hire pay taxes in Washington. They buy, they pay property tax. They pay sales tax. You know, potentially in some places, they pay self-employment tax in most cases. The union pays their taxes. So it does, in fact, bring more money to Washington through the math I've seen than goes to California. Mm-hmm. So it is a net positive. And if you are arguing that it's not enough of a net positive, you don't know how positives work. Because if it's anything positive, anything, then you should do it. Because it's cumulative.
Mm-hmm.
So, but even then, it's still pretty damn high on the estimates are pretty high on the positive scale.
Right.
So, you know, all those people are buying food from local places. They're buying,
staying in local hotels.
They're using local transportation.
Paying hotel tax.
Yes, they're paying. Now, and of course, not a lot of crew gets brought from California usually when they film in these places.
Right.
Local crew is hired. Those people live here and pay stuff. So yeah, the producers you know, they get their 30% back on what they spend in Washington potentially. They put more into Washington though than that 30%.
Yeah,
by a good chunk. So
and also on a different tack, but I also remembered I spoke with Chris Ewick this week. Who is the Game Matrix store owner of fame through Gamers 3 and Gamers 2.
Mm-hmm. Hans, correct?
Hans.
Yeah. I am not Hans. Oh my God, I am not Hans.
No, Chris Ewick is Hans. But he has the Game Matrix store, and I do the website for the Game Matrix and also for his Foam Sword Parties, which is foamswordparties.com. And if anyone in the area that's listening that has a corporate event, a children's event, scouting, youth organization, schools, whatever, Chris does a wonderful rollout of, he brings everything in and leads everybody in a huge boffer party, basically.
Huge boffer party sounds really scary to me.
It does, but we did some...
Sounds like in Britain it would mean something different. I don't know.
Totally. Totally different. Being boffed in the fanny. Anyway, there were some videos done last year that I did some voice work for, mm-hmm. and we may be doing some other things, but it's pretty epic, nice. And I keep wanting to throw that out there. So anybody local or not local, I'm sure that he would go someplace with the price is right, but he does those things, and he's getting a lot of really awesome feedback in how he does it, and it's really cool, especially the corporate stuff.
Right.
When you get to beat the shit out of your managers and stuff.
Well, that's... Immediately, I started thinking about this.
Yeah. I think Amazon needs to have
a... They did the blow-up sumo things right. once. They should do the boffers. I would mm-hmm. be much more... Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now it's time for a Fat Bard Food for a Minute. I did want to bring up that...
Brought to you by Kellogg's.
Brought to you... No.
No.
This time, it's brought to you by Jamil's Food Truck, which does the most delicious Creole food... that I've had in Seattle, which isn't saying a lot, in fairness. It's not saying a lot. Seattle doesn't exactly have a big-time New Orleans feel to it in any of its restaurants. But this place, food trucks get to do, like, they get to specialize. It's awesome. I'm loving food trucks. I got a crawfish po' boy and hush puppies, and dude, it was so good. So I highly recommend that. I highly recommend Nosh. There are a few I don't care for. Cheese Wizards was cool. It was okay.
But pedestrian?
I can make a fancy grilled cheese sandwich, no problem.
Right.
That's not an issue for me. It was good. It wasn't great. But Nosh is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jamil's is incredible. Savory I didn't care for. Saffron Spice, I think, is one. It's no big deal. I mean, seriously, go to like Kanishka or one of the buffets around here if you want Indian food. It's just going to be better. Same with the Thai. The Thai is better at places, not the food trucks. But
except
a lot...
Thai You Up's pretty good.
Thai You Up is pretty good.
And I like the name.
I still like Thai Tom the best.
Mm.
So, met the Sprays last night for dinner, Jeremy and Katie, and their two children. Tasmanian Devil 1 and Tasmanian Devil 2.
The sleeper?
She's a tiny, tiny, tiny kid with a set of pipes. Holy crap. Man, she can belt. But overall, very well behaved. Both mm-hmm. their kids are very well behaved.
Unlike Jeremy.
Joshua and Zoe, I believe. So... We were taking bets on which glass would get knocked off the table first.
Mm.
Jeremy called it. It was the lemonade for his son. I thought it was going to be the bigger glass of water. But, you know, I've been through this rodeo before. So everybody was spaced right. And it just hit the floor, essentially. But it happened. So we went to this place called Saya Thai in Kent.
Hmm.
And I got larb, which I have not had in a while.
Ah.
And it wasn't very good larb at all. Mm. It was very spicy, which I was happy about, because usually around here especially, spice doesn't mean anything.
Right.
I'd like a 5-star. Oh, that's a 1-star, but we write 4 more next to it. This place I got, so they go to 4, I got a 5, and it felt like a solid 5.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very solid 5-star. I was not hurting, but... Could have been very mm-hmm. easily if I'd, you know.
What is larb for those?
Larb is a ground meat salad. So, well, normally. This wasn't really larb either.
Mm.
It was spicy. It was good in that case, but it wasn't. So normally what it is they grind meat with lime chilies, some other things, rice flour, and diced onion. And they cook it up really, you know, at a high heat wok and serve it. And it's just really good.
Mm-hmm.
It's... Hard to eat because it just falls everywhere, but it's really good. They do pork. They do chicken. Some places do beef. This place did beef. Beef's not normal, though. Normally, it's pork or chicken. So this was more of a double-diced chicken. So it wasn't cubes. It was like rectangles of chicken.
Okay.
So it wasn't ground. It didn't have that sort of... And they put bean sprouts, bean sprouts in it. And it was weird. It didn't work right.
No.
But again, it was spicy.
Good.
Yeah. So that's our Fat Bard Food Forum Minute for this week.
Okay.
Yeah.
So should we just jump into questions?
Unless you have anything else. I haven't seen anything. I haven't done anything really extracurricular.
Yeah, no, I
got to rebuild my machine. It's just something happened to my Windows install on my main machine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, in fairness, it's not my main machine anymore. Since I got the laptop, I've been using the laptop for everything.
Oh.
So my desktop is really relegated to I need to download something or I need to serve media for the Xbox.
Mm.
Which is that's a lot of fucking machine for something like that.
Yeah.
But it's got problems. The Windows install has problems. Sometimes I'll start up and it takes about 3 minutes before you can enter keyboard input. It buffers. Weird. It buffers all the keyboard input. So suddenly right. You'll get a shit ton after 3 minutes. But that's not good.
No.
So that's it, though. That.
So you're going to do that?
I am going to reinstall.
Okay.
And I'm going to install 8.1. I'm not going to install 10 yet because it's a tech mm-hmm. preview. But I will right. be upgrading it to 10 when that happens. So
cool. Yeah. The only things I can't remember if we talked about, but I've seen Birdman. Which was great.
Yeah, I bought it because I got it free for my Bing points. Mm-hmm. Shut your face, everyone listening. I love Bing points. They're great. And I got Birdman for free in high def.
Yeah.
To own.
I will be interested to hear your take when you watch it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to say anything other okay. than it's great.
Cool.
And it's nothing about story. It's all about technical.
Oh, good.
But, yeah, it took me a while to be able to settle in and just watch the movie.
Gotcha.
And then saw Whiplash, which is fucking phenomenal.
I've seen a lot of memes being made from Whiplash.
I haven't seen any.
Well, what they'll do is they'll take a scenario and they'll use the J.K. Simmons scene where he's yelling at him and he cries one tear.
Mm-hmm.
And they make that the... You know, so it's like okay. it's like the Hitler thing where you just mm-hmm. take some funny dialogue about a situation and put it over the Hitler rant.
Okay.
Yeah. What I'm saying is J.K. Simmons is like Hitler, apparently. That's don't take that away. Nobody take that away from this. That's not what I'm saying.
No, not at all. And then just saw Foxcatcher,
mm-hmm.
which was another tour de force acting.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Carell was... All of them, Channing Tatum, Mark Ruffalo, hell, Vanessa Redgrave, they were all just amazing. Nice. Yeah.
Yep. So, yeah, let's get into questions.
Okay. On the Twitterscape.
Twitaro.
Thomas Brophy, @ Thomas A. Brophy, writes, ooh. Yo, love it when... Tom, the whitest Jersey boy I know, starts anything off with yo. Yo, since we're starting March Madness, what kind of madness would you like to generate in showbiz or sports?
I don't know how to answer that question.
I don't either.
Let's go with syphilitic insanity, and we're going to go with sports. That's what I want to do. Based on this question, I want to generate syphilitic insanity and, oh, I'll pick a sport. NASCAR. Syphilitic insanity in NASCAR.
I would watch that.
Because basketball and football, baseball, they're already almost there.
So. Yeah. I would say I want to generate the madness in showbiz of originality.
We just had a discussion about this.
Right.
Here's a tip, folks. If you're writing a script for the first time for an original show and your idea is, hey, let's do this, but in this setting, let's do this movie, but in this setting, don't do it.
Don't do it.
Don't do it. Like, that movie was already one of the seven stories. And if you don't know what the seven stories are, you just look it up. There's the seven stories. There's a bunch of subplots and all that stuff. And you can have intersecting conflict, but don't say I want to make I don't know, Field of Dreams, but set in a urban Chicago hospital. Don't say that. Okay, just say I want to make an urban Chicago hospital movie that has these beats. That's much better.
Yeah,
and it doesn't lock you into the original property. Be original. Come on.
Rob McLennan writes in one of his questions, what current TV show do you think you could, quote, kill it in, unquote, so well it would be your ticket to the big time?
Whew. That's a tough one. Also, Rob, thank you again for the presents last week.
Yes.
I did get ninja kicked when I walked in the door, so my candy bar got et by someone else. Well, that's not true. Half of my candy bar got et. She was going to take the whole thing, but I snuck back in and grabbed it.
There you go.
So I got part of it. So what TV show? A better question is, what TV show would actually produce a blow-up star today? Like, it would have to be a Netflix show, almost. Like, Orange is the New Black, I guess.
Or FX.
Actually, that's what I would love to be. I would love to be a reassigned inmate on Orange is the New Black. So, like, a sexually reassigned inmate. So, born male, reassigned to female, Orange is the New Black. I think I could kill that. And it's the only show that really my tattoo is going to work these days. It's not gonna, that shit doesn't fly. That shit doesn't fly on like the new Con Man series or whatever. That, not gonna happen. Oh, shit. I think I tipped my hand because I think we have a Con Man question later. Mm-hmm. Forget I said that. Ignore what I just said. We'll go with whatever. I don't know. Hannah Montana does Dallas. What the fuck? Right. Kid shows are like that these days.
They are. I would say that I missed my calling with Sons of Anarchy and or Justified. Mm. I think that I could have killed it as a character, actor, character. Yeah. A character actor part.
Character.
Character. I'm a cractor. Which would have worked on Justified just fine.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
But yeah, anything up and coming, I don't know. And as a character actor versus a character, I could kill it on a lot of things, I think. I mean, I think that I could do really well on a Lost Girl. I think we both could do really well as recurring characters on Lost Girl. That
I think people would love. Yeah, I'd love to be an American on a BBC show.
To me,
I think that would be awesome. Because then you wouldn't get the immediate American audience.
Mm-hmm.
It would be like a year and a half later. But suddenly you'd be an immediate geek icon. Because geeks love BBC shows.
Yeah.
I mean, I know more geeks who watch Downton Abbey than I know people in the 40 to 50 age range who were super into that time period.
Yeah.
That watched Downton Abbey.
Mm-hmm.
So, weird thing.
Rob also writes in, oddly enough, almost a perfect segue, Andy. What are your thoughts on the record-breaking campaign on Indiegogo by Alan Tudyk and Nathan Fillion? For my own part, and only because it's these two, I'm heavily conflicted.
So I'm going to make a guess that the conflict comes from the fact that these are millionaires asking for money. I'm going to hazard a guess and say that's probably what you're asking about. First of all,
it's currently sitting at $1,869,573 raised
and 12 cents.
An ask
of 400 something?
Of $425,000. Yeah. So it is 440% funded with 26 days to go.
Wow. So you cannot get so basically, first of all, your outrage cannot be at the money they make. It can only be at what they asked, if you have outrage about anything. Second, we know how expensive it is to do an indie thing in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
We know how expensive it is to do an indie thing in Seattle where a bunch of people are jumping over themselves to volunteer. We know how expensive it is to do anything in Seattle where a bunch of people are jumping over themselves to volunteer, and we're not using union actors. All that being said, we could barely put something together for $450,000.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we could, but it would be barely.
Yep.
So, you know, why didn't they use their own money? Dude, you don't have any idea what these people's lives are like.
Yeah.
Nobody does. You know, the woman who plays Cersei Lannister, who's for some reason Lena Headey? No. Anyway, her name's slipping my mind.
Yeah.
She is bankrupt.
Was also in Dread.
Dread.
Was also in 300 Rise of the Empire or whatever.
300 Rise of the Who Gives a Fuck. It's 300.
Right.
She's broke.
Yep.
Not because of bad... Like, she's broke because of her past, a relationship she had that didn't work well. She is not... It's not her fault, but she's fucking broke. You don't have... So what this is about is removing risk from people. They're saying, hey, I want to fund this. It's risky. Your fans, do you want to partake in the risk? Okay? And I'm fine with that.
Yep.
I'm totally fine with that. I know a lot of people get really upset about especially movie stars asking for money. But let's say it wasn't them. Let's say it was a con organizer who makes $65,000 a year doing con organization. So they don't have money to do this shit. What if they'd put together the Indiegogo?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody would care. Nobody would bat an eye. It's because these guys did it themselves.
Right.
So I'm fine with it. Do you want to see it? Then kick them some money. Do you not care? Then don't.
Right. And
you can't get mad at what other people are spending their money on.
The thing that I got into a discussion about was the fact that this is just a new thing, and to a lot of people, it seems like panhandling. It's, you know, hey, give me money to do this. And the question came up, and the only reason that I knew was because I went and I read mm-hmm. everything on the Indiegogo campaign about why they were doing it. And it's basically the same reason that Zoe exists.
Right. Did,
which is, yes, we could go a traditional route. The minute we do that, our vision is compromised into the pablum that the Hollywood machine, or not even the Hollywood machine, that the network television machine is going to run this through in saying, these are the people you can have on, these are the people you can't have on. No, let's dumb this down. The audience isn't smart enough. And the other argument is, well, here's two people that obviously have fan support. Why would someone do that?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is, it's Hollywood, mm-hmm. and it's their money.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're putting money into it, being a producer of some sort other than Alan Tudyk, then, and this isn't Alan Tudyk and Nathan Fillion's thing. This is Alan Tudyk's thing.
Yes.
And Nathan Fillion is going to be a part of it here and there. But if you look at the rewards, they're all signed by Alan. Some of them, they're signed by both. Some of them, you get to have, you know, the two of them in. But there's going to be a lot of people besides those two. Alan Tudyk does not have Nathan Fillion money.
No.
Alan Tudyk is predominantly a voice actor or a character actor
mm-hmm.
that's very much of a type. Voice acting, he's not a type. He runs all over the gamut. But as far as roles he's going to get that are going to pay him money to fund something like this,
mm-hmm.
which is his image in addition to his voice, because voice work doesn't pay.
No, that well. I would wager that he was the lowest paid major he was the lowest paid major personality for sure. He was probably the lowest paid actor in iRobot.
Mm-hmm.
By a good chunk.
Yeah.
Because he did voice work.
Mm-hmm.
He just went in and read. He probably knocked it out in 2 days, which, you know, everyone else was on set for 3 months. But still, he was probably the lowest paid person on that cast.
Yeah. And
extras, of course, forgiven. But
right. And so, yeah, it comes down to, like Andy said, you can't get mad at what people choose to do. You get something back out of this that is guaranteed, unlike anyone else putting money in as an investment. So you get to have the episodes at $25 accessible to you. I find it odd and somewhat eerily arousing that you can only have the episodes early and for 90 days once they go public. They're not yours. At no level do you have 100% exclusive ownership of those episodes. You have 90 days, and then it goes back. And I'm assuming that's part of the Vimeo model and not necessarily their model. So it's out of their control. But for me, that's the only thing that smells weird. Because all the other ones, you get a DRM download of whatever you're doing, period, end of story, forever and ever to exist in whatever medium you want. But I do not like the Zach Braff, the, what was it, Andy Kaufman? Not Andy Kaufman. Who was
Starburns? The
Charlie Kaufman. Veronica Mars. I guarantee you that this will be way better. If they make $2 million, this will be way better than the $2 million that Veronica Mars raised.
Yeah, again, I don't really care, though, what people spend their money on. But I will say one thing. And this is the one thing that I think is the differentiator between this and especially Veronica Mars. Zach Braff, I'm not going to hold anything against that guy at all. He's I'm fine with him doing what he did. I'm fine with everybody doing what they did. People chose to support him. That's great. The big difference between Veronica Mars and the rest is the Veronica Mars money was seed money to get traditional funding, which means you as a person paid money and a percentage of it went to a producer's bank account who didn't lift a finger. Normally, and this is why I don't care about Alan Tudyk doing this, is you spend the money on Alan Tudyk's project, it doesn't go into a production company that's designed to make as much profit as they can off of the production of the film. It goes into the hands and pockets of the people he's having help make the film.
Right.
And, oh, hey, now we've got enough to do special effects. There's a little special effects house that suddenly gets to eat dinner for the next 4 months. So I'm totally cool with it.
Right. And I'm cool. I'm of the same thing of, you know, spend your money where you want to. I'm just saying that at some point there's going to be a burnout of these things. I believe that it's for people who don't have money or access or avenues to get things done. I would say that Zach Braff could have raised private funding where he didn't have to compromise his vision. I would say that Alan Tudyk has a great opportunity to do that, except that he wants a series, whether that's a TV series or web series or whatever. That is not a self-encapsulated film like Zach Braff wanted to make. So there are deeper repercussions to, I need something that is going to be ongoing and continuous versus I need this wrapped up in a little bow. Here's my independent movie. So I think in a landscape of all of these things out there and tech widgets and 3D printers and, you know, all of these things as a grassroots way of funding things, it's just a new way of raising capital where your level of contribution gets you a certain level of stuff back guaranteed that is not money. And I think that if you just accept it as that and fund what you want and don't fund what you don't, and therefore the masses speak their, they get their voices heard, then it's okay. But you have to wrap your head around the fact that, yes, in a way, it's panhandling for the 21st century.
It absolutely is.
And as with any other panhandler, you have the choice to say, here's a burger, here's money for booze, here's money to help out your family, whatever it is, or...
not today.
Not today.
Yep.
And that's where I'm at with it.
Well, here's the way I look at it. I'm about to shell out, most likely, between $45 and $90 this year to HBO, plus Blu-ray money, so I can watch Game of Thrones.
Yep.
Because HBO Now, by the way, HBO, good call.
Yes.
Releasing now, separate from cable provider, and releasing it when you release Game of Thrones. Brilliant. And I'm totally going to pay that. Because I support Game of Thrones. And I want people to get paid for Game of Thrones. Now HBO, now the money I spend HBO go, right? Of that, a certain amount goes to the production of these films. But I know going in that what I'm paying for mostly is HBO's margins.
Right.
I'm paying for HBO's profit margins. They make a they make an investment based on risk assessment to make the shows they make. I'm not paying for the shows.
Mm-hmm.
I'm paying for HBO because I trust that they'll continue making those good choices.
Right.
With Indiegogo, I'm paying for the shows.
Yep.
I'm paying directly for the shows. And it would be, you know, for $90, I could get a pretty high tier on Con Man.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I don't, there's no reason to ever be upset about it, for sure. The people that I hear getting upset a lot of the time are the people who are like, that came out and now my campaign is suffering because people are either out of money because of Con Man,
mm-hmm.
you know, or whatever. The Con Man's a stand-in here. But, right. you know, they're out of money because of Project Q. And so I can't get my movie funded. And I feel mixed about that because, yeah, you can't get your project funded because you weren't on Firefly. I mean, I'm going to mm-hmm. be honest here.
Yeah.
He's going to have better numbers than you.
Yep.
People are going to see this. But if you think his thing running... If you want to get funded, make something compelling and you'll get funded.
Yep.
Two record-breaking Kickstarters ran side by side.
Yeah.
Right? The Exploding Kittens and the Pebble 2, they fucking mm-hmm. ran side by side. People have money for stuff.
Yeah.
They'll pay for this shit. But you have to understand that yes, people who have a recognized face are going to have an advantage. The only thing you can do at that point is make your stuff as compelling as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be blood and it's going to be sweat. And we know because that's where yep. we're at. We're, you know, and I have my own opinions about the stuff that we've kickstarted. And frankly, I feel like I don't know how much I want to get into that.
Yep.
But, you know, I don't feel like every indie Kickstarter is virtuous at all. And I feel like indie Kickstarters by small people who you don't know can be just as underhanded as Veronica Mars.
Yep.
So, yeah.
I think it should be Kickstarter, not Kick Continuer.
Well, and you get a lot of people who'd be pretty mad at that.
Yeah.
But I don't care. It is what it is. It's been established as panhandling.
Yeah.
And you can hold out a cup for whatever you want.
Yep.
The takeaway here is quit supporting shit if you don't like it.
Yeah.
You know, just because it's got a famous person's face on it doesn't mean you have to throw money at it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's your answer.
Yeah. All right. Dennis Nickel writes in with a very, very interesting question.
Oh, yeah?
And I am going to answer this exactly as the question is written.
Okay.
Because I feel the question was written in a certain way. I'm going to answer it exactly as it's written. The question is this. Scott, if you went out to check the mail one evening and encountered your head floating a few inches off the ground, glowing faintly blue, smiling, and blankly staring off in a random direction, what would you do? Well, if it were actually my head floating there looking in a random direction, I wouldn't notice it when I was going to get the mail. Because it would be a copy of my head that I would notice floating there. So if it was actually my head, I wouldn't notice it at all. However, given your question, I would probably blankly stare at my head, blankly staring off into the distance, trying to figure out what it all meant.
Interesting.
Then he says, Andy, what about you?
Hmm.
And I would like to pose to you the question, what if you were checking your mail and my head was floating there?
Oh, my God. So I'm going to answer this hoping that next week he continues the adventure. So I'm going to walk to head and attempt to pick up head. So, like text adventure style, I'm going to go to Scott's head.
Thank you for filling
in the blank. And take Scott's head. and we'll see what happens. I need to wait. I need to wait to see what spits back.
Okay.
On the line there.
Yeah. So those are our answers, Dennis. Take them as you will. Paula Moran writes, "What book/comic/video game characters would you like to voice if DG Zoe made animated movies?"
That's really good.
I don't know if they made animated movies in general, I guess.
I'm assuming then, it's like if so it doesn't have to be Zoe for this question. I think it's like if a comic book or book, if you could voice a comic book or book, who would you voice? Because I don't, obviously you're going to voice your characters if they're Zoe properties. You're going to voice Strong Like Bull. You're going to voice, you know, Flynn. If Zoe made animated Zoe movies, okay. I don't think that's the intent of the question. I think the intent of the question is pick a property that hasn't been released yet. What would you voice? And I wouldn't probably do it if it was a Zoe film because they're not going to get the kind of stuff I want to voice. So mm-hmm. This is going to be like a traditional property. So okay. Sony picks up, you know, Badger. Scott gets to voice Badger. That's just the way it is. So what would you do?
What's Badger?
I'll explain it after the podcast. Okay. It's a comic from the 80s about a guy who's like, imagine a rabid PETA person on steroids who was essentially not unhurtable, but didn't feel pain. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So I would say, I will answer the first thing that pops into my mind for all three genres. Mm-hmm. So what book would I like to do voice work on? The Thomas Covenant series is.
Nice.
And whether I am A, Thomas Covenant, that would be awesome, or B, Salt Heart Foam Follower, the giant. Either of those two characters I would be okay with. For a comic, I'm going to go with Bone.
Hmm.
And for a video game, this is a weird one, but I want to voice the Dig Dug character, not the dinosaurs.
Right.
Just the guy running around going,
I think his name's Doug.
Shit. I got to run over here.
Nice.
I think that would be, a brilliant and hyperventilating, highly, susceptible to passing out type, proposal.
All right, for a book, I think I'm going to go with Ernest Cline's Ready Player One, and I would just actually want to voice an array of background characters.
Mm.
I don't think I would be a good main character. I would like to voice an array of background characters. For a comic...
Well, you're thinking about that. You know who I think?
My
copy of the book is around here somewhere. I keep thinking when I'm reading it, I keep seeing Edward Furlong.
Mm. Yeah.
As the main character.
That would totally work.
For some strange reason.
They're making a movie, I believe, by the way.
Ready Player One?
Yeah.
It will be.
It could be nice.
I got to hurry up read the book.
And that's a lot of licensing.
Yeah,
like,
it is.
Shit tons of licensing.
Yeah.
For the comic, see, now this one I can actually answer with a Zoe property because I want to be Ralph, period, from Demon Hunters.
Mm-hmm. And I want to be Sam Hell.
Yeah. But I want to be Ralph. I want to be Ralph. I want to be Ralph. If I was voicing a non-Zoe comic, shit, man, I don't know off the top of my head. Fuck. I guess probably Fiddler's Green from Sandman.
Hmm.
And then lastly, maybe Destruction too. Kind of just a hearty laughing sort of lumberjacky. Get over here. He doesn't have an accent. That was a stupid thing. Finally, video games.
I know the answer to this one.
Well, no, they've already fully voiced Monkey Island. Monkey Island's been fully voiced.
No, I was going to say Slimo.
Oh, well, yeah, duh. I'm doing that, though. I want to do something different.
Right.
I don't know. Let's go with anybody from the old Eye of the Beholder video game. I'll take anyone from that.
Mm.
So.
Okay. Look at that. We're under an hour.
We're under an hour?
Barely.
Well.
Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Neil deGrasse Tyson, if you're listening.
And you would like to figure out how to make this slightly longer so it would be over an hour.
Or you want to tell us why the opening wouldn't work. Because you're a dick like that, Pi Day ruiner. Actually, I don't care. He's right on everything. Except for like his last tweet was a little... What is pi in base pi? Is it really 10? Or is pi in base pi 1? Anyway. Please. Please come on the show.
Come explain that last statement to me.
Yeah. And bring, some lemon meringue. I'm just saying, you got the money.